In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the first of the Ten Commandments. And as we've talked about many times, the Ten Commandments were divided into two tablets. The first of them are the commandments that deal with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second tablet deals with those commandments that explain what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. You could literally translate this commandment as, "Thou shalt have no other gods before my face," which there's no place that is beyond the presence of God, and so basically you should have no other gods. Now, hopefully, in this day and age, and in those dealing with those that are in the church, at least the most obvious meaning of this commandment is not a problem for us. Hopefully we're not fooling around with pagan religions, the occult, astrology, or any of that sort of nonsense. But there are other levels of meaning to this commandment that remain problems for those of us that are believers and things that we need to give thought to. When you're preparing for confession, it's a good thing for you to go over the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, and to ask God to show you in what way you've fallen short as you read both of those things, and then to write them down, and then to come to confession. One of the things when I go to confession myself that is the first thing that I almost always mention is that I don't always put God first and foremost in my thoughts and priorities. I try to, but when I assess my life and I look over the time between my last confession and the time that I'm preparing to go to confession again, I have to say that there are times when I don't always have God first and foremost, so it remains a struggle. And it's something that we should spend time each evening assessing how we failed and asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11 says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me." There is no true God. There is no Savior apart from our God. But let's ponder for a moment whether by our behavior, by the way we live our life, we really put God first, whether we really have no other gods before the true God. Those of us that have children, ask yourself this question. You are careful to make sure that your children get a good education because you're concerned that they be able to make a good living in the world. But do you give the same care, and in fact you should give even greater care, to making sure that they have an education in the faith, that they know what it means to be a Christian, that they understand the scriptures, that they know the lives of the saints? That should be the number one priority for you as a parent. But which one in reality, when you assess what you actually do with your children, comes first? And for those of you that don't have children, think about your own time. What do you do in terms of educating yourself or trying to improve yourself? Is your focus on trying to improve yourself as a Christian or improve yourself in some other way? It's not to say that these other things are unimportant, but they have to be in balance, and God has to come first. You find time to watch the TV shows that you want to watch. You find time to watch the movies that you want to watch. You find time to do the things that you enjoy doing. And all of us spend time doing one or other of these things throughout the week, and they're not bad in and of themselves, depending on what it is that you're watching, of course. But do you make excuses when it comes to the things of God and say, "I don't have time. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to church"? And given that, which one is really more important to you? You have money to buy the things that you want, but do you use your money to give to God by giving alms, by supporting the church, by supporting ministries of the church that advance His kingdom throughout the world? As we talked about last week, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It said in the scriptures that we discussed to put your money in bags that cannot corrupt by giving to the poor. That's an investment that's a sure thing. It's a 100% guaranteed return. If you give to God and you give to the poor, that you will reap the benefits of that. You don't have to worry about the future of the stock market or what the value of the dollar will be. It's a 100% guaranteed return that God will reward you for that. But in fact, what do you do with your money? Who comes first? Whatever you place before God is a false god, and it's a god that needs to be removed from your life and put into its proper place. Scientists tell us that there are 300 billion stars in our galaxy, and that from one end of the galaxy to the other, it's 1,000 light years in diameter. That's just our galaxy. There are 100 to 2 billion galaxies in the universe, and the universe is approximately, they tell us, 150 billion light years in diameter. If you were to travel from one end of the universe, it would take you more than 35 times the age of the Earth, according to scientists, which was 4.2 billion years for you to cross it. The God that we worship is the creator of all that. And to God, the universe is a small thing. And yet we put trifles ahead of God, trifles that are so insignificant that they're not even specks in the grand scheme of things to God, and they shouldn't be that important to us. Exodus chapter 34 says, "For ye shall not worship strange gods, for the Lord God, whose name is Jealousy, is a jealous God." His very name is Jealousy. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that God has emotions as we have. It's an image. But God is jealous not because he's harmed himself in any way by our infidelity, but because he loves us, and because when we place anything else in his place, we break our relationship with him, the God of the universe, the only God that can save us, and we commit ourselves to things that cannot save us. The prophet Jeremiah said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." The image there is of a fountain of fresh water, a spring, as opposed to cisterns, holes dug in the earth that store rainwater, which is not quite as good to drink as a spring water. And in fact, they're not even cisterns, but they're broken cisterns that hold no water. These are the things that we put our trust in when we put things before God. Righteous Joshua said this, "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." What is your answer? Whom will you serve? That's the question that we all have to ask, and we have to make the commitment that Joshua made, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen.